Chapter 7. Deadlock. First Claw had one chance to survive the next few minutes, and they reached for it with everything they had left. The four of them hurled their weight forwards as one, shoulder-charging in a mass of midnight armor. Talos and Mercutian bore the responsibility of the vanguard, and both of them thudded their sloping, spiked shoulder guards against the half-Aquila shield with a shared cry of wordless anger. Telemion braced against them, his boots chewing sparks from the decking as he was sent slowly skidding backwards. He had the shadow of a second to swing his hammer, pounding the maul into Mercutian's back-mounted power generator, discharging its gathered storm of force in a burst of energy and light. Mercutian's backpack exploded, blasting debris in every direction. The hammer's concussive force threw him to the decking in a clatter of deactivated armor, to be trampled beneath the grinding feet of both squads. Talos saw Mercutian's life signs wipe blank from his retinal display, powered down before even registering a flat line. Even as Mercutian was falling, Uzas took his place against the shield, sending the champion staggering backwards. Sirion pounded into his brother's backs, adding his strength and weight to the jury-rigged phalanx. It turned the tide, First Claw, and their majestic victim went down in a fighting tumble, cursing and spitting. Sirion was the first to rise, the first to face the Genesis Chapter's blades. His gladius punched into the abdomen of the closest Imperial Space Marine, eliciting an irritated, pained gurgle. The Space Marines hacked at his armor, their scoring blades leaving silver smears where they cleaved paint from the ceramite and ceramite from the subdermal layers. Uzas didn't even bother to rise. He cleaved with his chain axe, severing one of the enemy at the knees. For his efforts, he was rewarded with another of the enemy warriors ramming a short sword into his back. Talos, pinned atop Ptolemyan's shield, couldn't reach the champion through the Aquila barricade. He caught an incoming sword from above with his augmetic hand and yanked to pull the bearer off balance. The Genesis warrior fell forward, his proud breastplate of beaten bronze meeting the rising gold of Talos's blood angel blade. A crunch, a squeal of metal on metal, the hiss of bubbling blood on charged iron. The Prophet rolled aside, kicking the dying Imperial's legs out from under him, two down. His senses thrumming in response to heightened synapses and reflexes, Talos scrambled up and launched at the last Genesis Space Marine in the same moment as Sirion. Both Night Lords bore the warrior to the decking, slaking their blades' thirsts with each puncturing stab.
"We are not soldiers. We are murderers first, last, and always." Who wrote those words, or spoke them? Was it Malkarion? Sevatar?
Both were prone to those dramatic turns of phrase. He was dizzy now, his vision watered as he dragged his sword from its scraping sheath in the Space Marine's collarbone. He'd never had to fight so soon after a prophetic dream. Telemion rose on snarling armor joints, smashing Uzas's side with the edge of his shield. The legionary staggered back into his brother's, his helm mangled beyond recognition. Mercutian lay unmoving at the champion's feet. The three Genesis warriors were down and just as dead. Talos, Uzas, and Sirion faced Telemion, all of their bravado, in short supply even at the fight's beginning, now gone. Uzas and Talos were barely able to stand. In First Claw's infamous, not quite illustrious history, few battles had ever looked so one-sided.
"Come, then," the Space Marine intoned. They each heard the cold amusement in his voice, distorted as it was by the waspish buzz of Vox Growl.
Despite the challenge, Telemion didn't wait for them to charge, nor was he willing to risk them trying to flee. His crested helm dipped as he advanced, the hammer emitting its migraine whine as it made ready to fall. Aurum, the Blade of Angels, caught the first blow, gold scraped against gunmetal grey, with the Prophet locked against the champion. Telemion broke the deadlock with only the scarcest effort, levelling a second blow against the sword's crosspiece. The thundercrack was deflected enough to miss a direct strike, but pounded into the Night Lord's joined wrists. Talos lost hold of the blade, and Telemion kicked the Prophet against the arched wall, finishing him with a backhanded blow to the chest. The broken Aquila on Talos's chest piece burned black with scorch damage, while chasm cracks ripped out in an unintentional star.
Down you go, heretic!
As Talos collapsed, joining Mercutian on the decking, Sirion and Uzas descended as one. The former hurled himself onto the weighty shield, his gauntlets clawing at the edges. If he could tear it from Telemian's grip, or even lower it enough, Uzas could deliver the death blow. He realized his mistake as soon as he latched onto the ornate shield. Uzas, at his best, was sloppy beyond belief when it came to pack tactics. Desperation didn't focus him the way it did his brothers. And Telemian was no fool. He recognized the threat as soon as it came near, and bashed Sirion back against the wall the moment the Night Lord had a grip. The pressure was somewhere close to falling beneath a land raider's treads. Sirion voxed nothing beyond strangled breaths as he felt himself slowly crushed into the wall. Reaching around the shield's edge with his pistol allowed him to crack a shot into the champion's knee, which did nothing but scar the Saramite. Telemian used his backswing to finish the damage he'd already begun to inflict on Uzas. As the axe wielder came in for a second strike, he met the thunderhammer face on. It broke through his weak guard, pounding a half second later into his breastplate. Lightning played across Uzas's armor in sick delight, even as the warrior toppled backward, dead-limbed, onto the decking next to his brothers. With the others finished, Telemian released Sirion. The legionary staggered forward, weapons falling from numbed hands. A third and final shield bash rocked him back to his heels, sending him down to the deck in a weak heap.
"Your impurity sickens me."
The angry hum of Telemian's armor was a rumbling percussion to the snarl of his words. He moved to stand over Sirion, pressing a boot onto the Night Lord's chest plate.
"Was it worth it to fall from the Emperor's grace? Do all of your viperous achievements validate your cancerous existence now that your life comes to an end?"
Sirion's laughter was broken by coughing, but it was laughter all the same.
"The 13th Legion always gave the best battle sermons."
Telemian raised the hammer, his expression hidden by the dense metal face mask.
"Behind you!"
Sirion was still laughing. Telemian was no fool. Even an initiate wouldn't be deceived by such crude trickery. That fact, coupled with the noise of chatter from the boarding squads in constant communication over the vox, was why he was taken completely by surprise when Zal came at him from behind. Sirion was the only one of First Claw to witness the duel that followed. What he saw stayed with him until the night he died. They didn't engage at once. Zal and Telemian stared at each other for several moments, each taking in the trophies and honor markings displayed across their rival's suit of armor. Telemian was a vision in imperial accoutrement, with wax purity seals, honor scrolls, and aquilas decorating his ornate warplate. Zal stood in filthy reflection, his armor adorned with skulls and imperial space marine helms hanging from rusted chains, with swatches of flayed skin in place of parchment scrolls.
"I am Telemian of the Genesis, Warden of the West Protectorate. I am the end of heretics, the bane of traitors, and a loyal son of Lord Gilliman." "Oh,"
Zal chuckled through his voxponder,
"you must be very proud."
He tossed something round and heavy onto the decking between them both. It rolled to knock gently against Telemian's boot. A helm. A Genesis Space Marine's helm. The eye lenses put out, the faceplate smeared with blood.
"You'll scream just as he did,"
Zal said with a smile. The champion showed no reaction. He didn't even move.
"I knew that warrior,"
he said with solemn care.
"He was Kalius, born of Newfound. And I know he died as he lived, with courage, honor, and knowing no fear."
Zarl swept his chainsword across the scene, gesturing at the prone forms of First Claw.
I know all of these warriors. They are First Claw. And I know they'll die as they lived, trying to run away.
It was the laughter that did it. His mockery of the Genesis champion's demeanor wasn't quite enough to incite the Imperial wretch to rage. But Zal's laughter served as the coffin's final nail. Telemian advanced, shield high and hammer at the ready.
Make peace with your black-hearted gods, heretic! Tonight, you will know the...
Zal gave a distinctly annoyed snort.
I'd forgotten how much you heroes liked the sound of your own voices.
As Telemian drew nearer, the Night Lord gripped his two-handed chain blade in a single gauntlet. In his other hand, Zal caught the handle of Uzess's damaged chain axe as he kicked it up from the deck. Both blades began to roar as their teeth chewed the air. He'd fought through 7 Imperial Space Marines to get back here, and their blood flicked in a light spray from the whirring teeth of his chainsword. Beneath his armor, sweat bathed his skin in a greasy sheen, while amusement danced with a strain of pain and anger in his eyes. The sting of already suffered wounds knifed at him through the rents in his warplate.
"Let's get this done," he said, still smiling. "I look forward to letting our slaves use your helm as a shit bucket."
Deltrian didn't need to breathe, that is, to respire, in the conventional sense. But his remaining internal organics required an oxygenated system to function, and could only be slowed by necessity for so long. The augmetic equivalent of holding one's breath was to manipulate his inner chronometry, forcing it to operate at a fraction of optimal speed. It left him slower, near sluggish. But it meant he could operate in the void for up to 3 hours by his closest prediction. His robes drifted around him as he walked. Beneath his clawed feet, the ridged hull of the Echo of Damnation stretched out for kilometers both ahead and behind. To look in any other direction was to stare out into the far reaches of space, and the stars winking an infinity's distance away. The enemy vessel circled the Echo of Damnation with rapacious patience, casting shadows across the larger cruiser's hull as it eclipsed the distant sun. The ship was a battlemented void cutter, a strike cruiser with the inscription Diadem Mantle along its prow. Almost against his will, he considered it a singularly beautiful name for a warship. Deltrian took another step, making his cautious way across the outer hull, leading a phalanx of those in his service. Most wore environment suits and full rebreathers. Several were robed, as resistant to the void as Deltrian himself. The pack traversed brutalized sections of the ship's armored skin, moving through craterous holes and across wrenched steel terrain. A warship would endure an eternity of external damage with no concern, but a handful of unfortunate shots against certain sections, and havoc was the result.
"Your reverence, please,"
one of Deltrian's lesser adepts began over the vox. Lacking the human lexicon to continue in a formal complaint, the robed priest blurted a pulse of offended code over their communications link. Deltrian turned to face the other adept, his skullish face peering from beneath his red cowl with glittering eye lenses. While Deltrian's appearance was a calculated artifice to inspire discomfort in biologicals, his mechanicum kindred could read the displeasure in the subtle kinetics of his facial movements, even down to the shutter-guarded glare of his focusing lenses. The adept was already preparing to apologize when Deltrian spoke.
"Lacuna Absolutus, if you distract me with further objection, I will have you rendered down to your component pieces. Pulse me acknowledgement signifying your comprehension."
Lacuna Absolutus transmitted a spurt of affirmative code.
"Good."
Deltrian returned his focus to his duty.
"Now is not the time to cite optimal operational specifics."
It took the Mechanicum repair party exactly 12 minutes and 2 seconds to reach the first shield generation spire. The damage was immediately apparent. The pylon, reaching out 6 times as high as an unaugmented man, was a mangled tower of scrap iron in a crater of damage eaten into the metal meat of the hull. "Analyzing," he said, devoting his sphere of attention to the damage he beheld. What required immediate maintenance? What was superficial hull scoring, and could wait until dry dock?
16 composite metal girders to replace the focusing spire's damage.
4 servitors shambled to obey, their mag-locked boots sending minute tremors along the hull. Deltrian's eye lenses whirred as he sought to perceive through the outermost layers of the hull. He pressed his hand to the twisted metal, pulsing ultrasound into the damaged floor.
"The damage does not extend to any significant depth. Internal team, move ahead."
"Compliance," came the dead-voiced reply, from over a dozen meters beneath his feet.
"Your reverence,"
one of his adepts voxed. Deltrian didn't turn. He was already walking into the crater, beginning the hike to the next spire.
"Vocalize, Lacuna Absolutus. Have you determined the probability of the enemy craft detecting the attempted repairs on their narrowband Auspex sweeps?"
"Detecting us is irrelevant. The void shields are active. We are working to ensure they remain active. I had not realized the situation was beyond your cognition."
"Your reverence, the void shields are active now. If they fall again before we complete the repairs, the enemy will surely seek to interfere with our actions, will they not?"
Deltrian resisted the urge to emit an expletive.
"Be silent, Lacuna Absolutus!"
"Compliance, your reverence."
Zarl caught another hammer blow in the crossed blades. His own sword, the unimaginatively named Executioner, was already reduced to ruin. In flashes of insight between blocking blows and swinging to kill, he sincerely doubted Septimus would be able to restore it to full working order. If Septimus was even still alive, the ship was taking a hell of a beating, and the crew with it. He'd miss this sword, no doubt there, assuming he survived, of course. He trusted his skills in battle above any of First Claw, above any Night Lord except Malek of the Atramentar, if he was being perfectly honest. But dueling an Adeptus Astartes company champion was no laughing matter, especially not one this well-armed and armored. Zar knocked the thunder hammer aside with Uzas's damaged axe, lashing another fruitless strike against Telemian's dense armor with his own blade. The chainsword, now almost toothless, skidded along the layered ceramite, leaving nothing but scratches. With so few teeth, it had almost no grip. No chain weapon could stand up to a protracted duel with a thunder hammer. Zarl cast it aside with a curse. 3 crashing strikes against Telemian's shield drove the warrior back as far as Zarl needed. He repeated his kicking move, flipping Talos's stolen Blood Angel power sword off the deck and catching it in his spare hand. Clenching the grip was enough to activate it. The sword hissed and spat, with lethal lightning dancing along its golden length, crackling as the energy discharged into the air. Everything changed the moment he held the blade, for he had a weapon that could reliably parry the devastating maul. Zarl used both weapons to smash into the hammer's haft, knocking its descent aside. Conflicting power fields met with angry, snarling sparks. When Telemian's shield came high, readying for a crushing bash, Zarl's axe hacked into the top rim. The Night Lord pulled the hooked axe, tearing the shield from the Space Marine's grip. They backed away once more. Zarl kept both weapons live, one boot on the half aquila of the fallen boarding shield. Telemian gripped his hammer in both hands.
"You have done well, traitor, but this ends now."
"I think I'm winning,"
the Night Lord grinned behind his faceplate.
"What do you think?"
Deltrian reached the 3rd damaged generator pylon. This one, half a kilometer from the first, was a ruined stump of melted metal. Its severed nub scarcely poked from the ship's scorched armor skin. The hull underfoot was a pitted, dissolved desert of abused steel, having suffered heavy damage in the last cannonade. For the first time in several decades, Deltrian felt something akin to hopelessness. The emotion was simply too powerful, too sudden, to swallow back down in traditional mechanicum repression of the mortal, the flawed, the organic.
Lacuna Absolutus? Your Reverence? Take the last team ahead to the final damaged spire. I will deal with this one myself.
Lacuna Absolutus stood next to his master, his own red hood drifting in the airless void. His face was a chrome-plated simulacrum of an ancient Terran death mask, expressionless, yet not without judgment. His voice issued forth from a coin-sized vocalizer tablet sutured into his throat.
Understood. But how will you deal with this, Your Reverence?
Deltrian grinned, because he always grinned. His features left him no choice in the matter.
You have your orders! Begone!
A shiver wormed its way down his spine as he received information from his link to the ship.
No, he said aloud. Your Reverence? No, no, no! The generator was stabilized!
Void shields, came the voice across his uplink bond. Failing!